Our church belong First of all, today go to Koga Church as Jovan Mission Pulpit Exchange. And today we have Pastor Nobuhiro Suzuki from Moriya Bible Church. I'm Suzuki from Moriya Bible Church. I graduated from Tokyo Christian University in 1998. I was assigned as missionary of Toride Bible Church in April 1999. Toride Bible Church started pioneer evangelism in Moriya City, and Moriya Bible Church started Sunday service in January 2002. Now we worship at Moriya Bible Church. Today, Moriya Bible Church, Pastor Inoue give his message. And let's read Bible Psalm 130. Let's read. Out of the depth I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Our Heavenly Father, you call each one of us name one. You invite us here and we worship together. Thank you. We thank you, you are here. We exchange with you, and you bless us. Please let us walk with you. Please talk to us. We are listening. We wait for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our walk, we walk through joy and sorrow. And even when we say suffering and sorrow, it may be temporary, or it may be somewhat relaxed, or we may try to solve the problem by ourselves, and a way will open up for us. However, there are times in our there are times in our lives when we find ourselves in a difficult situation where we struggle, fear, and suffer, and even if we try to do something about it, there is nothing we can do. Today, we listen to the words of Psalm 130. The psalmist was in such a predicament. He was in the midst of personal and national crisis. And he was in deep distress. Let's read chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. Out of depth, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. The song is sung from the depth of, out of depth. It would indicate the depth of suffering. He must have been placed in such suffering for a long period of time. He must have been in such a state of suffering for a long period of time, with not a slightest light or hope for tomorrow. Now they may have been seeing a glimmer of light, but that glimmer of hope faded away again soon after, and so on. It is not that he did not pray to God. He prayed, he wished, but I guess he was in such a state that he could not see the light of salvation, the light of restoration, and God was hiding from my sight, his sight. Let's open Psalm chapter 69 if you verse 1 through 5. Psalm chapter 69 verse 1 through 5. Let's read. Save me, O God, for the water have come up to my neck. I sink in the muddy depth where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The flood engulfed me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason, outnumber the hair of my head. Many are my enemy without cause. Those who seek to destroy me, I am forced to restore what I did not steal. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. In verse 2, where there is no foothold, so I have no foothold. I am in depth of water, flood waters and torrents are rushing over me. A condition or circumstance from which one cannot save oneself. The title of this song is Song of Ascent, but the Babylonian captivity may have been the background. In our walk of faith, we may find ourselves in a similar situation or circumstance. We are placed in deep and long suffering. We ask and pray to God, but we cannot see the light in our suffering and pain. You may be in a situation where you are trying to find a solution, but the more you struggle, the more fearful, hopeless, and bad outcome actually is. It may be about yourselves. It may be your family. It may be about your place in the world. It may be about the church it may be about the church we love. In this context, the psalmist remembered his one sin. He said, verse 3, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? The Ara Psalm 69 also says, you, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. The Babylonian captivity was God's judgment against Israel, God's people, for their sin of turning their backs on him and not letting him be God. The psalmist remembered that no one can stand before God's judgment. He remembers God's judgment upon himself and his people for their sins. He fears his own foolishness and his own sin before God. There is fear of God's righteous judgment of sin, fear of not being able to stand. He truly fears God for their iniquity, for their sin. And then he continues, but he sings. But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. He sang that they could not stand before God, but God would not destroy them or abandon them, but would have mercy on them and forgive them. He worships a merciful God. and because of that forgiveness. He continues. You are feared by men. He has lamented his foolishness and his wickedness, but he thinks that he fears and honors God, who is merciful and forgives. It is not that God is just a kind one. Because he forgives, he honors and fears God. God's mercy, forgiveness, did not make us lose the fear of God. God's mercy, forgiveness, moves people toward a true fear of God. It does not mean being afraid of God or being timid, but it does not mean having attitude of, I don't mind if I sin because I will be forgiven. It is not that kind of attitude. It is the kind of fear that honors God, fear evil, grieves sin, and stays away from evil. The church living in the New Testament era, each of us too, we walk in the fear of God. God is righteous. He is the one who rightly judges sin. We have failed to stand before God because of our sins. But God loved us, and through the substitutionary death of His Son Jesus Christ on the cross, forgave all our sins, restored our fellowship with Him, and made us His children. Boldly and with assurance of forgiveness, we can approach God by saying, Father. We will not be scared of God, but we will bow down before God, turn away from evil, confess honestly before God what is unworthy of His presence, and honor Him. An English preacher named Lloyd Jones said something like, a Christian is one who is amazed at being forgiven of his sins. A Christian is one who is thankful, amazed, and honors God for His mercy, who was forgiven those who should have been judged and condemned to sin and eternal death before righteous God, because of the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ, and who has been saved from the eternal judgment of God. We must not take sin lightly, take forgiveness for granted, or take forgiveness lightly. We who deserve unforgiveness have been forgiven through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, His Son, on the cross, through the mercy of God. Because of God's mercy, the Christian's walk is not one that loses fear and reverence for God, but one that knows the magnitude of God's forgiving mercy is fortified by it, and therefore fears and fears and reverence God, and the fear of God is not work that deprive that Christian of joy and freedom, but is a work that keeps that Christian alive in true Christian joy and freedom. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Verse 5 and 6. Confident in the merciful Lord, the psalmist confessed with fear and reverence of God. In the midst of this deep suffering, he confessed, "I wait for the Lord." Repeatedly he sings, "I wait, I wait, I wait." And to wait for the Lord means that he will wait for the word of the Lord. In verse 7, he exhorts the Israelites to wait for the Lord. What does that mean? Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. It says there will be abundant redemption, but it also means that what we have suffered for long now will be resolved, and our situation will be changed. We want to pray for that, but not only that there will be abundant redemption, and although he will still have that situation, we ourselves will be needed and purified in God's hands, which is also included in abundant redemption. The issues and the problems we have will not be solved, but God's plan and work of salvation will be revealed around us as we are being needed and sacrificed, sanctified. In our church, we have experienced deeply that the presence, words, and the prayers of our brothers and sisters and pastors in the church are comforting, and the kingdom of God is expanding because they are really struggling with the long and the deep pains. They are caring about their families. Although such things cannot be said to those who are suffering, they are working in such a way, aren't they? They are fighting every day. And ultimately, the kingdom of heaven is our redemption. We are They didn't have they still have problem and they are still fighting, but they are purified. And we have always suffering and pain in this world. But we have the hope. Kingdom of heaven is our final hope. Therefore, we wait for the Lord. In God's love, we are welcomed, which is abundant redemption. And therefore, we wait for the Lord. I want to consider a few Old Testament figures for a moment. Abram waited until God's promise was fulfilled. And he didn't see God's promise was fulfilled. And Jacob waited for God's word that his brother would serve his brother. Joseph waited until he had a dream that his brothers would serve him. But he didn't see. But he waited a long time. They were not without sin. Abram could not wait and enter Hagar. Jacob took the blessing of firstborn from Esau by deceiving his father Isaac. Joseph told his father Jacob about his brothers, and in his pride told his brothers about the dreams he had, and they hated him and sold him into Egypt. Because of his arrogance. This is Joseph's sin. Joseph matured. However, they all hung on to God's mercy and waited for the Lord, and God's word came true. God is with Joseph. God has forgiveness for Joseph. Joseph's sin was not light. But God's mercy so Joseph became king of Egypt. Joseph relied on God's words and he waited. The other day at the church school, we looked at the story of Joseph according to Growth, a Christian magazine. A believing mother who heard this message at church school wrote my wife, "My family is really scattered now, and I think it is because of my one lack of consideration, but I want to walk in trust that God, who searches for such a family and guides us by shining his light on us, will connect us together." I saw her admit her own foolishness and weakness, cling to God's mercy, and walk with hope. I was really encouraged. The Lord is merciful. He has abundant redemption. We desire to wait on the Lord. Like the psalmist, desire to pray earnestly from the depth of the abyss, where God seems to have gone into hiding. There will be times when we fail to wait for the Lord, are filled with anxiety, and make the mistake of overreacting and hitting others. But the Lord is merciful, so I hope to trust in Him again and receive His abundant redemption and mercy. I will wait for the word of the Lord, like psalmist sings. As believer, as church, we walk. Let us pray. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Dear God, we are in this reality, in human relationship in our family. And when we remember sorrow or grief, we act following my feelings, and we couldn't wait for you, but you give the word wait for our Lord. So please let us wait you and give strong faith to us. Please work with you with prayer. Please let us joyful believers in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.